to his presence. Bring your burdens here. Jesus is waiting. Give him your cares. Come to him as you are. Mercy and grace you'll find. There's healing. Healing for your soul. Come into his presence. Your salvation's here. The Lord is waiting to day to fill your heart with love, joy, and peace. Won't you give him a try? There's healing for there's healing.
We could be all day talking about the different things that cause the soul to hurt. But we're so glad that no matter what it is and when it is, the answer is Jesus Christ, our Savior. He is the answer to the brokenhearted. He's the answer to the bowed down head. He is the answer we need today. God bless you. You're tuned in to the Six Eyes Gospel Show, where you get your praise on without leaving your house. Hey, whether you're driving in your car, just listening to us on your internet radio, we want to say welcome to our program. We have a wonderful word coming to you today. And we have some good music that's going to be played for you. Right now, let's take time to greet some of the other members of the Six Eyes Radio Network. And we have our AKA Six Eyes himself, none other than Brother Charles Sanford. God bless you, sir. How you doing on this Sunday afternoon? And we also have missionary Ken Wolfgang and his wonderful wife, Sister Ruth Wolfgang. God bless you all. How are you doing on this wonderful Sunday afternoon?
Doing great.
Amen. Amen. That is so wonderful. If you could be so kind. Amen. Brother Charles, that's you? All right.
Yes. Good morning, Pastor.
Hey, good morning, good morning, good morning. I was going to say drink your coffee and take yourself off of mute. Amen. All right. All right. Let's kick off the program. Any special prayer requests that we have today, Brother Six?
just for the world, mankind, our family, and friends.
All right. Well, with that being said, our maestro, our missionary Ken, is going to lead us in a word of prayer. We're going to ask his wife to come and give us a scripture reading for today. And we're going to go further in the program on today. Amen. Go ahead, missionary Ken.
All righty. Well, Lord Jesus, we ask you, Lord Jesus, as we now embark on this program, Lord Jesus, we ask you, Lord, that we say or do something that would be honor and glorifying to your name, Lord Jesus, so that, Lord, that soul nearest hell would be able to reel up the flag and surrender, Lord Jesus, saying, I yield, knowing that your word said, Lord Jesus, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So, Lord, let this day be their day. Let them get in contact with us so we can rejoice with them in their newfound joy, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for the team of the Six Eyes Radio Network, we ask a special blessing. Do pray, Lord Jesus, so they can keep on keeping on for you, whether mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for your children, we ask the same blessing and do pray so they can keep on keeping on for you, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for those dealing with COVID-19, we ask a special blessing and do pray, Lord Jesus. First off, for the family and friends who have lost someone due to COVID-19, we ask you to bless them, Lord Jesus, and comfort them as only you can, Lord Jesus, during this time of bereavement, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for those who are going through COVID-19 as we speak, we ask you to raise them up out of the bed of affliction as only you can, Lord Jesus. And we thank you for that healing, Lord Jesus. And then for those who need a healing in their body, Lord Jesus, no matter what it may be from, Lord Jesus, we ask you to touch them as well, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for situations like George Floyd and situations just like that, Lord Jesus, you got mail, Lord Jesus, because we need to learn to love our neighbors ourselves, Lord Jesus. In so doing, we'd be loving the omnipresent neighbor who is you, Lord Jesus. Now we ask and pray all this in your holy and precious name as we turn this program over to you. Amen and amen.
Amen. Okay, I have Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 26. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Praise the Lord.
Okay, that was again, Ruth.
That's Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 26.
Amen. And God bless the reading, hearing, and most of all the doers of his most holy and precious word. Thank you, Sister Ruth. That is so good. In my mind, I was contemplating on how to use that tomorrow night to minister an attitude of gratitude. Amen. So I'm going to try to work that in on tomorrow night's program. Amen. But as for today, we're thankful for this is the day that the Lord has made. We choose to be glad and rejoice in it. Did you know that joy is a choice? That sadness is a choice? That at any given time, you can choose to be happy. You can choose to be full of joy. I don't care what has happened. It doesn't matter what may have taken place in your life. The Bible tells us that so long as the earth remains, there shall be seed time and harvest. It tells us that there's always time and chance. There's a time for this and there's a time for that. There are chances in life when we can succeed or fail. But at the end of the day, we all must make the conscious decision to know that God's best is in for us. He said to Jeremiah, and we're going to play the track, He said, I know my thoughts towards you, declare the Lord, thoughts of good and not of evil, to give you an expected end. That means, brothers and sisters, we have something to hope for when things are not right, because he has an expected end for us. That's that nugget for today. I pray it bless you. Let us go forward.
The favor of God stops your being manipulated by the circumstances. People say, well, under the circumstances, so-and-so. Well, what are you doing under the circumstances? With the favor of God, you're supposed to be on top of the circumstances. Stop being manipulated by circumstances. Stop worrying about the unknown. Some of you are young and you're worried about the unknown. Stop it. If you have favor with God, it will be well with you. It will be well with your children. It will be well with all you put your hands to, because the favor of God is already in the future, working out the future. Things you don't even know are about to happen. God has already straightened them out in your behalf, because you and you and you are favored of God.
Hello, I'm Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang.
And I'm Emily Barnum.
And we're Blind Trucking of Ashtabula, Ohio.
Keep your hands on the wheel.
And your eyes on the road.
And we support this program.
Here on the Six Eyes
Radio Network.
What is the church? Is the church a building? Is the church a pastor? Or the staff? Is the church the music? The tradition? Or the ministries? These are all good things, but they are not the church. Take them away, and the church is still here. Why? Because you are still here. The church is you. The church is you with a purpose. The church is you on a mission. The church is you with a plan, a simple plan, to plug into God at a weekend service, to charge up in a small group community, to live out using your gifts and passions, and to pass on your faith to those who do not know Christ. When you and I live like this, all the things we used to do in church become things we do as the church. God desires it. The world needs it. And we are called to be it. What is the church? The church is you.
I found you,
I never thought I'd be
lot of faith, but I've never been in this place. Time and time, I never thought I'd win. Oh, Lord,
been a lot of faith,
seen a lot of peace.
Is not for you if you've never cried a river or had your heart broken in two. This song is not for you if every day you wake up the skies are blue. But this is for anyone, no matter how you pray, the pain will let you get through. But you try and you try.
But you're a miracle.
today. Amen. That's having an attitude of gratitude, knowing that today is called the present, a present. You know, all of us love present. And the thing about presents are you have to unwrap it or pull it out the box. Even if it's a car, most cars that's given as present, they'll put a bow on it. And so you take the bow off so you can enjoy the present. Your life today is a present from God. So you have to choose to be glad in this day. I know you may be thinking, but you don't know my circumstance nor my situation. I'm reminded that Joseph, while he was sold into bondage, was still thankful and represented God in a godly way. Mistreated and thrown into prison, but still represented God in a godly way. Until the point where God caused a circumstance, a situation to arise, that he and he alone only had the answer. God know how to present you the right way. You just have to let him work the work that he's working in your life. Be thankful. You have breath to breathe. Many people are on oxygen machines where they need assistance in breathing in just oxygen that's free out here in this air. They need help. So let's be thankful. Once again, you're tuned in to the Six Eyes Gospel Show. I am Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, coming to you from the beautiful city of Memphis, Tennessee. I'll be sharing with you today a word from the Lord that I believe that's going to richly bless your life. I pray that you're ready. Get your Bible. Whether it's a paper Bible, a Braille Bible, get your Bible. Whether it's on your laptop, your computer, or your cell phone. And if you got a cell phone and it's called a smartphone and you don't have a Bible on that, a Bible app on that phone, then I serve notice to you today that that phone is a dumb phone. But we can help you today to make that phone smart. Go to your app store, be it Apple, be it Samsung, be it Play Store, and download you a free version of the Bible in whatever language you speak. Hopefully those that are listening to me understand English well. We'll be reading today from the King James Version. If that seemed a little strange for you, you are welcome to read the New Living Translation or the New International Translation or even the New King James Version, which removed the those, the thous, and the these, so that you may have a better understanding. But nevertheless, read the Word. The Word of God is there to enrich our lives. It is here to make us better. And so read the word. Get the word for yourself. Thank God for preachers like myself that have been sent. But we are only sent for a moment. There's time that'll arrive in your life where we won't be there as a voice to echo something from the Lord. And you're going to have to know how to dig into the word of God for your one self and gravitate to that word that will be your life preserver, that will be your rescue line. If you were ever in the deep ocean sea and you were sailing, it was on a ship, and they had to call the Coast Guard because your ship was going under. When that helicopter arrived, you're looking for something to come down that you may wrap around or that may wrap around you and bring you up. And thank God for the men and women that's on the mission field, because those are the men that jump into the water right where you are. And they help secure you in the armrest or in the basket so that you may be pulled up to a safe place and brought out of the dangerous waters. And that's what the word of God would do for you on this day if you let it. Amen and amen. Now, I gave you your time to get your Bible. I hope you have a pen and a piece of paper. If you have a note line Samsung phone, just take your little pen out the bottom and go to your notes. And now you have something to take notes on, because I'm going to give you some scripture that later on you'll be able to go back and read and study for your oneself so that you may go and help somebody else. Everybody else that don't have that, find you some paper, find a nice pen or pencil, and let's begin to write down the lesson for the day. In the book of Exodus, Exodus is an Old Testament book, Exodus being to exit. Moses here is writing the account of his life. And he's writing to us, and from this I want to take my stand as we move forward in the word today. Mm-hmm. Moses, see here in Exodus chapter 3, verse number 14. Exodus chapter 3, verse number 14. And God said unto Moses, and who said? And God, capital G-O-D. And God said to Moses, that means Moses was in a dialogue. He was in a dialogue with Almighty God. And here is, and Moses said unto, and God said unto Moses, in other words, God is responding to him, as he is responding to us today. And God said unto Moses, I am, in all caps, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am have sent me unto you. When people want to know what authority are we operating in as preachers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we are telling them today that I am has sent me to minister to you today. The question is, who is this I am? And what's so significant about these words? I'm glad you asked the question and allowed me to give you an answer of understanding. This answer of understanding is God said, I am that I am. In other words, what he's saying is, I am everything. I'm the one that said, let there be light, and there was light. I'm the one that said, let, and then there was something that followed. When you need something in your life, when there is something needed in your life, I'm not talking about your wants. I'm talking about what you need to live, what you need to survive, what you need to move forward, what you need to obey the word of God. God said, I am that. Amen, somebody. I am food for you. I am growth for you. I am understanding for you. I am who will deliver you. I am your rescuer. I am your burden bearer. I am. And so we take this text today to gravitate to the words, God said, I am. Father God, bless this truth as we journey in your word today. Let it bring forth clarity and understanding to your people. And as you do it, God, we're mindful to give your name all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise. We love you, Father, and thank you for teaching us how to love right. Forgive us for all transgressions that we may have that may hinder us from receiving what you have for us in this. But open up our ears and open up our hearts of understanding, that we will hold true to your truth of your word today. All these things we receive as we pray in your darling son, Jesus Christ's name, amen and amen. Once again, here Moses is in a dialogue, and he's talking to them, and he's talking to the Lord, and he basically said, Lord, I know you sent me, but they're going to ask me, if you sent me, what is your name? I'm going to need some verification so that they would know who sent me. And so God give him his immortal name, I am that I am. We did some teaching on this a little while back, but we're going to move forward because now we're going to jump into our New Testament, turn into the New Testament, to the book of John, St. John. Amen. We want to jump into John, and we want to see here how Christ himself identifies with the word I am. St. John chapter 8, we see in verse 58, and I'll go back and start this at the beginning in just a second, but verse 58 said, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, that means truly, truly, of a certainty, show enough, show enough. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say. In other words, he didn't want no misunderstanding. He didn't leave room for us to try to interpret what he meant. In other words, he got right to the point. Jesus says here in St. John chapter 8, verse 58, Jesus said unto them, and we'll go back and see who them is, verily I say, verily, verily I say unto you, before Abraham was, before he was, I am. Verse 59 says, and then they took up stones to cast at him, but he hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. The question here is, why then they tried to kill him? Why did they desire to stone him to death, to bring harm to him, because he use what we may have thought was broken English? But he didn't use broken English. He was precise in what he said. And the scribes and Pharisees of that day, the religious leaders of that day, had perfect understanding of what he had declared unto them. Many times he would do stuff and they would ask him, by whose authority are you doing these things? And many times, oftentimes he would say, well, before I answer your question, the baptism of John the Baptist, what say you, was it of God or was it of man? And they wouldn't answer him because the people respected the ministry of John the Baptist. And I've talked before here that when Christ came on the scene, he succeeded the ministry of John the Baptist. In other words, as John stopped, he continued. Amen. And he continued where John left off. Amen. And so here it is. They were refusing to answer. And so oftentimes he would just put things on them that they either wouldn't answer because they feared losing their authority. They feared losing the persuasion that they had on the people. He was gathering people together not because of the words of his mouth, but because of the deeds of his actions. A lot of us talk a good game, but what work have you done? All day long, you could talk about building a house, but until you pick up hammer and nail and some wood and begin to put it together in order, according to a blueprint, according to a set of plans, and you're not going to build a house. You have to put some action behind your words. And so here, he said to them, before Abraham was. So let's read the story in its totality. Let's go back to verse 48. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not, well, thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Now, this man is working miracles, and they now trying to contribute his miracles to the works of the devil. And brothers and sisters, the devil has no power to work miracles. He can work illusions and deception, but he has no power to work miracles. To work a miracle is to go against nature law to make something happen that otherwise could not happen. Only he who has power over nature can do that. Amen, somebody. Verse 49 says, and Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye so dishonor me. Many of us today, we are dishonoring Christ and don't even know it. How am I dishonoring Christ, brother? How am I dishonoring him? Well, you say you love him, but what deeds have you done to show that? You say you are a follower of him, but what actions in your life currently are those that WWJD? Help today, Holy Spirit. So verse 50 says, and I seek not my own glory. There is one that seeketh and judges. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. And when he said this, like most of us, when we read it the first time, we like, but everybody dies. What is this man talking? He had to be crazy. He had to be off his mind. Maybe he meant something else. And what we don't understand is he meant exactly what he meant. The problem is our definition of death only exists around the actions of the body. We do not consider the soul when referring to death for the most part. We only consider the life that we understand now, forgetting that this life that we have now is only temporary, that the life that is to come is eternal. So we move on, verse 51. Verily I say unto you, if, conditional, a man keeps my saying, he shall never die. He shall never die. Now, for your sisters that think that this is just for the men only, no. This is a person. Man is the species here. So whether you male or female, you still are part of the human society. And he's talking to you and me. Verse 52, then said Jesus unto them, now we know that thou art a devil. Then said the Jews unto him, talking about Christ, now we know that thou art a devil. Abraham is dead. Abraham is dead. And the prophet, and thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste death. And I can hear God saying, show you right. I can feel him having confidence in what he said, because he know what he said. He knew what he meant. And he said it for our benefit. If, conditional, a man keep my saying, he shall never taste death. If a man keep my saying, he shall never taste death. You won't have to taste death if you obey what God says. The wages of sin is death. That means you're going to have to taste it. But the gift of God is eternal life, but it's through his son, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. It is through Jesus Christ that we receive salvation. So we're moving on, verse 53. They said to him, art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead? In their mind, they thought that Abraham was dead. And the prophet are dead. Who makest thyself? Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honors me, of whom ye say that he is your God. In other words, my daddy, who you say is your God, he honors me. And so how you going to say you honor him, but you dishonor me? That's like you coming to my house, talking good about me, but then want to put down my children. Oh, we're going to have a problem. Let's keep moving. Verse 55 says, yet ye have not known him. He's talking to them that said that God is their God. They're naming God as their Lord. They're naming God as their source. And he says to them, yeah, you may call his name, but you don't know it. It's like me going to the presidential party. I may know the president's name. And I get up there and they say, who are you? I said, well, I'm invited to the party. What's your name? And they look on there, my name out there. I know the president. He know me. I can say all I want, but my name is not on the list. I'm not going to get in. If I point out, there he is right there, Mr. President, remember me? And he's going to look over and see, and he's going to say to his Secret Service, I don't know him. And many of us are living lives like that, saying that we know the Lord. But the question is, do he know us? Is there a relationship there that he will say, let them in? Help us today, Holy Spirit. So verse 55 again said, ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I shall say, I know him not. That means I don't know him. If I deny him, I shall be a liar like unto you. In other words, when you claiming to be a Christian, but you won't live a Christian lifestyle, you, according to this text, brother, sister, are a liar. Don't mean to disrespect you. Don't mean no harm. But the truth gonna make you free. And only what you do for Christ gonna last. So he says, again, verse 55, yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I shall say, I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying. Your father, Abraham, rejoiced to see my day. You have to go back and read about Abraham's life and see what day he was looking forward. And when you really pay attention to the scripture, God talks about blessing Abraham's seed, not his seed. So Abraham was looking for Christ to come on the scene. We are all blessed today because of Abraham, but read the text. So moving forward, here he says, your father Abraham rejoiced. There go that choice word again, rejoice. In other words, he chose to be glad, even though he didn't see it during his time. He maintained an attitude of gratitude. He rejoiced to see the day of Christ and was glad about it. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old. And have thou seen Abraham? In other words, look here, fella. Abraham died over 2,000 years ago. You ain't neither 50. How you saying you seen him? That's how they dealt with Christ. Verse 58. And here's the text. And Jesus said unto them, verily, verily. That means truly, truly. I say unto you, before Abraham was, since you think I wasn't there at his death, let me make it clear to you, I was there at his life, at his birth. I was there from the beginning. John 1:1, in the beginning was the word. Help us on. So Christ established his uniqueness, and he established that as the same as the Father, who said to Moses, I am that I am. So seeing that Christ is saying, I am, it's very important for us, brothers and sisters, when we use the terminology, I am sick, we have to be careful because God is not sick. He said in his word, let the weak say I am strong. Let the poor say I am rich. Why? Because I am healing. I am peace. So we know the names of God, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Tiskanu, Jehovah, we got Elohim and so many more. We'll take time here as we begin to go through all of the names of God. I am. Those names, Jehovah is establishing who he is at that moment in time of their need. So, now, let's go a little further. Jesus began to say in John, I am. We see this in John chapter 15, verse 1. Now, he tells us in this chapter that if we abide in him and his word abide in us, then we can ask. Sister Ruth read earlier from Galatians, talking about the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit only grows when it's connected to the vine. If you have a tomato, it grows while it's connected to the vine. Grapes, they grow while they're connected to the vine. Other fruits and what have you, they grow while they're connected to the tree, to the branch. And it's when they are disconnected due to growth hindered, stop, and begin to now decay. So he says here in John chapter 15, verse 1, he says, I am, so now he's using that immortal name. And he's making a declaration of what he is, or who. So he says to us, I am the true vine. What are you connected to, brother? What are you connected to, my sister? Yes, you may be connected to this ministry or that ministry, but are you connected to God? Yeah, you may have your name on a church roll, but do you have a genuine connection to he who's over the church, God? And do you have that connection? Do you have that connection? Jesus said again, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husband. He's the one that dressed it. He's the one that prunes it. He's the one that takes care of it. And so when something won't grow on the vine and causing the vine to be pulled down or to die, he prunes it. He cuts it off. Some of us have been cut off from Christ because we refuse to grow. I know you don't like it, but it's right here in the text. It's right here in the text. Verse 4 says, I abide in me and I in you, as the branches cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except you or ye abide in me. So he was very clear. So he is our vine. Some of us that need that lifeline, well, we got to connect back to Christ, who is I am. Let's go back another chapter, chapter 14. We're going to stay in John. We're just going to keep going backwards, take these flashback moments and look at the text as it's written. St. John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus said unto him, I am. There it is again. I am. There it is again. I am. And what is he? He's not saying I am a way. He said I am the way. That means there's no other way in the direction that he's going to talk about. So you may say there's many ways. And he's saying no. There's only one. So he declares to us in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That means he takes the hands here. I am the way, the truth. That means everything else going to be a lie. And the life. Everything else will be death. No man is the declaration. No man comes unto the Father but by. No man comes to the Father but by me. So Christ is I am. What are you needing in your life? Are you lost? Are you confused? Are you uncertain? Are you having trouble distinguishing right from wrong or facts from fiction? Are you having trouble coping with other people? If that's the case, then you go to Christ who says, I am the way. That means you don't have to be lost no more. I am the truth. That means you don't have to be confused no more. And I am the life. That means you can start enjoying life. You can start living life. He also said, I have come that you may have life and it more abundantly. So here it is. He's trying to give us an enhanced life. Regardless of your financial status, God wants you to enjoy life. He want us. He want me. I'm going to be personal with this. He want me to enjoy my life. So I'm going to be happy no matter what's going on. Amen, somebody. Well, let's go back again to John chapter 11. John chapter 11, and let's look at the 25th verse there. And we see here the story about Lazarus, and he died. We won't go into all the details. And his sister takes on that religious facade and says, well, I know he's going to raise up in the day, in the last day. He's going to resurrect in that day of judgment when we all stand before Almighty to give an account for our lives. And Jesus turned and looked at her and said to her, I am the resurrection. Let's look at it again. St. John chapter 11, verse 25. Jesus said unto her, her being Lazarus' sister, Martha. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. Uh-oh, he's repeating that life. So it's important for you to understand God do not intend for you to live a sad, lonely, and broken life. He do not intend for you to stay in grief and suffering. So in the middle of your trouble, in the middle of your pain, in the middle of your hurt, God still wants you to experience joy, completion, satisfaction in him. And when you have the right lenses to look through, you will see him more so than you see your problem. When the song says, oh, magnify the Lord with me, the only reason why we don't magnify the Lord is because we took our attention off him and we started putting our attention on our circumstance, our pain, our suffering. That means we are magnifying the pain. We are magnifying the suffering. We're magnifying the trouble in our lives. When although the trouble is real, that the pain is real, the circumstances and situation of trouble may be very, very real. But it's not greater than your God. And because it's not greater than your God, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And if God be for us, who can be against us? So you have to change your mindset and understand that it may seem like I'm about to go under. I might be looking at foreclosure, repossession, bankruptcy. But God said, Christ said, I am the resurrection. In other words, you can bounce back from this. You may have gone through a devastation situation. God said, you can bounce back from this. Lazarus was dead 4 days in the grave. His spirit had moved on. Jesus looked into the tomb, looked at the tomb, told him to roll the stone away, spoke in a voice, and said, Lazarus, he had to call him by name because he is life. If he wouldn't have called Lazarus' name, all those that was in the grave could have got up and walked out of the tomb. But he was specific. He called Lazarus by name. And don't you understand, when God calls your name, I don't care what it is that's trying to hold you down, he's going to tell it like he told them with Lazarus when Lazarus was standing at the tomb's door. Loose him and let him go. Your circumstances, your situation got to loose you when God calls you by your name. Got to let you go. So he says to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. That's the individual that believeth in me. You know the problem here, talking to Christians, talking to those that say they are followers of Christ, believers of Christ. You know what the problem with Christians? Christians that's supposed to be believers don't believe no more. I'm going to say it again because I'm not afraid of you. The problem with Christians, or the so-called Christians, the so-called believers, is we don't believe no more that he's able for me. We say God can do anything, but we throw roadblocks in his way. St. John chapter 11, verse 25, read. Jesus said unto her, speaking about Martha, concerning her brother Lazarus, who's now is dead, am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were, past tense, dead. Yeah, you failed at overcoming this or that. Maybe you just found yourself strung out on drugs again. Maybe you're walking the streets again. Maybe you're selling dope again. Maybe you're going back into that abusive relationship again. That's what you were before this message. I'm saying to you, sir, saying to you, ma'am, that you can be set free if You believe in him. He that believeth in me, that's Christ, though he were dead, shall he live. I speak life to you today in the name of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and Savior. You shall live and not die. To declare the works of God and to do the deeds that he has sent you to do. Verse 26, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And he asked this question. He asked it to her, and he's asking to us today. He's made his decree. He made his statement. Believest thou this? And that's why I say the problem with believers is at times we don't believe. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Faith without work is dead. Let's go back another chapter, John 10. Let's go back one more. John chapter 10, verse 11, we see him again addressing the crowd. And he does a lot of talking to us. And he tells us about good shepherds. But the verse I want to zoom in is one when he speaks of himself as a shepherd. We know the job of the shepherd is to lead and to guide a flock into green pastures where they may feed or feast, so that they may grow, so that they may produce or reproduce. And he is to protect them from outside dangers. And a good shepherd, the Bible says, if he had 100 sheep and he counted and one was missing, he'll group the 99 together and go look for the one. I'm so glad he came and looked for me. I'm so glad that one day down Duval Street that he came and got me, allowed me to know that I was heading down the wrong road, that I was about to give up the gift that he gave me, and for me not to do that and for me to turn back, that his arms was open to receive me, and there was a place for me in his kingdom. There was a place for me in his mind, in his heart. There was hope for my circumstances, even though I didn't know what to do, how to do it at the moment. But he began to speak to my heart, so he picked me up and he brought me back in. That's the good shepherd. Though you were lost, yet Christ came and found us. My God, today. And so we see here, I got to read verse 10 with this because somebody needs to hear it. The text I was giving you was chapter 10, verse 11, but I must read 10 and 10. He said, the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. He said, I am come. Glory to God. That I am again have come that we may have, ooh, glory, that we may have life. God is coming into our life that we may have it, that we may enjoy it. I know the song says when we all get to heaven, we should sing and shout for victory. All of that sounds good, but he wants us to enjoy life right now today. He said the thief and the robber came to destroy that, to kill that. But he, the thief coming not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that ye may, that ye might, conditional, might have life. Why is it conditional? Because it's based on your belief. It's based on your obedience to that which you are believing. I have come that you might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Verse 11. I am the good shepherd. Not a good shepherd, the good shepherd. So all of us pastors, we are under shepherds. All of us ministers and missionaries and those that's working the fivefold parts of ministry, we are under shepherds. We are herdsmen and women. It is our job to help primary shepherd, which is Christ, to gather together the flock and to keep together the flock. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. You can't name nobody that gave their life for you in spite of you but Christ. While we was yet sinners, Christ died for us. His love for us supersede all love understanding in our mind. We was hating on God, dishonoring God, not pleasing to God, Christ still died for us. His love for us is that great that he allow us to make daily decisions of right and wrong. He don't just control our thoughts, but he gives us liberty to control them ourselves. Let us go back one more time. We're in chapter 10. Let's just go back to verse 9. He says in verse 9, I am the door. We're talking about shepherds. When shepherds are bringing the sheep to the sheep pen, when a shepherd was a good shepherd and he taught his sheep, the sheep pen don't have a door that swings and closed to keep them in. The shepherd goes to sleep at the door where they came in. And so because the shepherd is at the door, they don't wander off. So while they're in the pen area, while they're together, this is why it's so dangerous for a believer to be left alone, the way you rebel and go back into darkness. But when you are there with the other sheep, the shepherd is at the door and he sees you if you get to the edge to point you back. His staff is a rod that has a hook and a point. That hook is to pull you back when you need to be pulled back. That point is to defend off your enemies that will try to pull you out. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. And a good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. We know the story about David before he fought Goliath. David testified, and that's why he's a man after God's own heart. David testified, while I was taking care of my father's sheep, they wasn't mine, they my daddy's. A bear came to try to take them. And God gave me strength, and I defeated the bear. And another time, a lion came to take them. And God gave me strength. In other words, David put his life on the line to save those few sheep. So while he's sitting there wondering why this one man called, although he's tall, although he's big, although he got six digits on each hand and foot, why is the armies of the living God afraid of him when they got God with him? He's trying to figure out if me, a boy, I know how to fight with a slingshot. Y'all got sword and shield. Y'all need to be fighting. We got the word of God today. And we need to learn how to fight with the weapons that he's given us. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God, his word, to the pulling down a stronghold. That's what you got to do to overcome the trials in your life. You got to put the word on it. So he says in verse 9, he says, I am the door. Uh-oh, they go there. I am again. I am. Where you at? See, sometimes we look at doors from one direction, but you got to look at the door from both sides. Sometimes the doors of opportunity won't open, and God will be the key that'll open it up and let you in. But sometimes the door is there to protect. When I put my boat lock on, it's to keep anybody that ain't supposed to be in here, that's not supposed to be in here, out on the other side, keeping me on this side protected. God said, I am the door. God know how to make room for opportunity, but yet he know how to keep you safe. So he says in verse 9 again, I am the door. By me. By who? By me. Who's talking? Christ. If any man, who? What can any man? Save, unsaved. Any man. What? If any man enter. I don't care what your background is. I don't care what you understand. If you come into Christ. Conditional. Verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Salvation is only through Christ. The grace of God gives you permission, makes opportunity. Opportunity for you to repent. But you can't repent without receiving Christ. The word repentance deals with change of thought, change of thought process, change how you do something. You can't remain the same sinful thoughts of mind and be saved. Because then you didn't enter in. You came to the door. You acknowledged who was on the other side of the door, or you acknowledged the door, but you didn't come in. So he says here, by me, if, conditional, if any man enter, you can't stay on the outside. Christianity is not a spectator sport. Cut it out. It is not something to observe from afar. You got to come and get in it. You can't say you're going swimming but won't get in the pool. You got to get wet. By me, if any man enter in, he. Who is he? The one that enter in. Not because your daddy was a preacher or your mama was a missionary. None of that means anything. Thank God for all of that, but you got to do this for your one self. If any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in, listen to it, and out and find pastures in and out of faith, but be able to go in your home and out of your home to find food for your home. You shall be able to go in your neighborhood and out of your neighborhood and find a word from somebody. Pastor Calhoun liked to use this at Greater Somerville. He said, go out and get it and come back with it. Here's the scripture supporting that very phrase. And he shall go in and out and find. In other words, you're going to look for something. You're going to go after something, and you're going to be able to achieve that which you went after. So you'll be able to go in, and you're going to find, is this, sheep never eat on desecrated ground. In other words, if the ground is full of feces, they won't eat. Feces is waste. Stop allowing people to waste your time. Stop allowing people to make you a garbage can. Stop being the gospel sinner and become the gospel preacher, speaker, teacher. Go back one more time. Oh, this is good. This is good. I'm glad I started early today. Amen. Are you still with me? Are you still with me? Amen. I know the phones will move. God bless all of you in your respective areas that's listening today. Amen. I see the switchboard there. God bless you. Amen. We're going back to down to chapter 8 or over to chapter 8. Whatever, whichever way you're whether you're strolling through your phone, your digital device, or you're turning pages, let's go to chapter 8. We're still in John, St. John. Let's go to chapter number 8. Chapter 8, verse 12. Chapter 8, verse 12. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Chapter 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again, saying unto them. He was doing a lot of talking. And he said to them again. Then spake Jesus again. So that's a dialogue. Understand, Christ wants a dialogue with you. But once he's finished in that dialogue, he's giving us instruction. He's giving us the comfort of his word. That's why true Christianity is not religious, it's relational. Then spake Christ again unto them, saying, I am, here we go, I am the light. Uh-oh. I thought this switch that I pay my utility bill on was the light. No, that's a false light. Because if you don't pay that utility bill, that light going out. Christ says, I am the light. In other words, when you find yourself in dark places, talking to those that's going through low self-esteem, that's dealing with depression right now, and sometimes you find yourself in darkness. You find yourself in a dark space, in your mind, in your heart, in his word, in St. John chapter 8, verse 12. And the beauty of it is this. Before I read that, the beauty of this is when he says this, it was after he rescued a woman they wanted to kill. They wanted to kill this woman for the deeds that she done. They called her a prostitute. They say she was caught in the very act of it, and they wanted to stone her based on something that was written in the law. And here's the love of Christ. You may have done stuff that should have landed you in jail. You're not in jail, or you're in jail. You're incarcerated, but it won't keep you. It won't keep you. It won't keep you out of heaven if you enter into Christ. When people wanted to throw you away, Christ wants to give you a better day. People are looking down on you. He is there giving you another opportunity. Breathe out. Breathe out that negativity and breathe in his salvation. Breathe out those thoughts of suicide and breathe in him who is the tree of life. He is life. Let's read the text. Let's read the text. Again, we're in St. John chapter 8. Verse 12. And Jesus spake again, saying, I am the light of the world. This world don't mean he's the F-U-N to the planet Earth, but it means that he is the S, capital S-O-N to the system of this world. So he is the light, the illumination that reveals truth, because he is the truth. He's that for the world. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her king. We're getting into that season. That Christ is that joy. He said, I am the light of the world. That's follow instructions now. He that follow me. See, all of you on Twitter, TikTok and all of this, you follow all of these other people. But when was the last time you followed Christ? You got people that you follow daily. But how often are you following those that are teaching the wisdom, the word of God? He that follows me shall not walk in darkness. That's why certain groups are wrong. Because when they teach you that you're lost in darkness, you're lost in darkness, you need the light of this or that, is heresy. Because Jesus just said, I am the light of the world. He that follow me shall never walk in darkness. That means you can be blind and still have perfect vision. But shall have the light. This is what kind of light you have, of life. What is the light of life? That's that inner joy. That's that inner peace that surpasses all the understanding. When you get the report that says you got counselors, you're still rejoiceful. When you get the report that you got lupus, you're still rejoiceful. When you get the report that they're going to foreclose on your mortgage, you're still rejoiceful. Because you have an attitude of gratitude to thank God. God, I still have life. And so whatever is taken from me, something else and better can be given unto me. Maybe what I went out and got, I did it on my own and it was more than I could handle. Maybe you're reducing my circumstances so that I can handle it. St. John chapter 8, verse 12. And spake Jesus again to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follow me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And in good fashion, the scribes of that day, the Pharisees of that day, they got mad at him again. And he told them, you judge after the flesh, but I judge right. You judge wrong. Matter of fact, I ain't judging nobody. I'm giving them an opportunity. Come one, come all. Jew, Gentile, come on. I'm ready to receive you, but you just got to come in me. You can't stay in yourself, and you can't certainly stay by yourself, but you must come in me. Well, I've made it to my last scripture for this evening. I made it to my last one. St. John, chapter 6. St. John, chapter 6. I sure appreciate y'all sticking there on the line. God bless you. I still see y'all there. God bless you. You're holding on. You either enjoying this or you're watching football, and every now and then you look over, you listen over and say, amen, preacher. That's all right. I hope you got some takeaways. I hope y'all taking some takeaways. I hope you're taking a few notes, because at the end of this, I'm going to ask you, what touched you, what you like, what meant something to you. I'm going to ask you for a takeaway or on today's message. So please be ready. Please be ready. And even though I'm the one that's preaching this, if it wasn't for my notes, I couldn't tell you everything that I spoke on. So write something down. Or let something stick out in your heart, something that's noteworthy to bless you, and something noteworthy that you can use to bless somebody else with. Amen? St. John chapter 6, verse 30. The story is given to us. Speaking about Moses, they was talking about Moses giving them bread from heaven. And he said to them, Moses didn't give you no bread from heaven, but his Father from heaven sent bread. Moses just was the leader. Moses didn't work this miracle. God himself worked this miracle, giving you manna. Which means, what is it? Because you didn't know what it was. You just know it had a wafer taste to it and feel. God gave you food in the morning to sustain you. So shall he give you me every morning to keep you. So Jesus now presenting himself as not what is it, not who he is, but the bread of life, which we've already read from heaven in verse 35 of chapter 6 in St. John. He says to us, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. Remember when he was going through the wilderness experience and the devil tempting him to turn stones into bread? He said, if you be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. He said, it's written that man shall not live by bread, common bread, alone, but by every word Yeshua, Logos. Every Logos of God, 10 word of God. Jesus is the written word, which is our rhema word. He is the word from heaven to give us life in this world today. So he says here, 35, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. I know oftentimes we're thinking of poverty, starving. The reason why church is not enough for you is because you haven't come to Christ the way he said. He said, I am not your church building. Thank God for your organization. Thank God for your affirmation. Thank God for the building itself. Thank God for the leaders that constructed that. All of that's wonderful. But in the earlier program, the commercial said, you are the church. So God is not coming for a building that's made of hand, but he's coming for a building that he designed himself. It's you and I. He's coming to abide within us. So he says here again, I am the bread of life. He, that means you, me, anyone that comes to me shall never hunger. Shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. He that cometh unto me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. When you're hungry for attention, that means you haven't gone after God the right way. When you're thirsty for approval, you'll be led astray. So when we go after Christ, he fulfills these needs in our lives. He makes sure that what we need in our lives, that he gives us the answer to things that we need in our lives, that he bears witness to us of all the things in our lives. God's been good to us. God loves us. He takes care of us. He feeds us. He provides for us. So you and I, every day, have to learn to take on the attitude of gratitude. Learn to be appreciative in all the areas of our lives. So many things are going on in life. We got to learn how to tell God thank you. As we learn how to tell God thank you, we watch him giving us strength to overcome all our obstacles. So we thank God for him. We may be struggling today, but we got to understand that God loves us. God cares for us.
I would have lost it all.
And we would have lost it all.
But now I see.
But it's God who has carried us this far.
I can say,
let us allow him to carry us far. Hey, I love you with the love of Christ.
Never
after this Christ, we'll open up the line.
Without you, I would have lost it all. But now I see how you were there for me, and I can say, I'm stronger, I'm wiser, I'm better, much better. When I look back over all you brought me through,
to testify to somebody next to him. Tell him, I'm stronger, I'm wiser, I'm better, much better, I made it. Is there anybody in this house other than me that could declare you made it? Tell your neighbor, never would have made it. Tell them never could have made it.
Amen. Never would have made it without God. Amen. But because he is in my life, I can have life. Amen. God bless all of you. Amen. Hope you enjoyed the show. Amen. You enjoyed the program today. We had some good music earlier. Amen. Sister Ruth read some nice scripture. Anybody has a takeaway? I just want to go right to it. Anybody has a takeaway from today's message? Y'all, the lines are open. You're more than welcome to jump on in and share. Come on.
Well, hello, hello.
God bless you.
The takeaway, thank you. Yes, yes. The takeaway I have is go out, get it. Go out, get it. Come back with it. That right there. Don't get no better than that. If you want something, you got to go get it, and you have to put action behind it. Definitely like that. Like the analogy, everybody wants to build a house. Everybody want to have a house. Nobody want to pick up a hammer. So basically what I took away from this is action. Anybody can talk it, but you got to walk it, not just talk it. So that's the takeaway I got from it.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. All right. All right, Six. Amen. Put action behind what you want. All right. I like it. I like it. Anybody else? Amen. You ain't got to say what I said verbatim. What stuck out for you? Amen. What blessed you in the message today?
Kind of exactly what I took away with that, you know, but more or less what my grandfather used to say, actions are better than words, and if you going to do something, put some action behind what you're doing, and if you want to talk, that you've got Christ, you got to do more than just talk it. You got to do it.
Amen. Amen. I like that, Missionary Ken. God bless you. If you can't say you got Christ and you don't do Christ. almost like that Nike commercial. Is it in you? And if it is, then just do it. or even the milk commercial. Got milk, you know. And then they show you the residue to demonstrate that, yeah, that person has some milk. So what in our lives showing that we have Christ? I like that, Bishnette Ken. God bless you. Amen. Anyone else would like to comment, to say what stuck out to them, what blessed them, or even what revelation you received that help you to speak something else that may be in your heart? All right. Well, moving right along. Amen. Well, we want to thank everybody for joining. Amen. I pray that the message bless you. I pray that it encourage you. And I know oftentimes, a lot of times, the enemy, he's going to come on messages like this. He's going to throw up all types of roadblocks to hinder, to distract, to just do whatever he can to not let positive messages like this really penetrate the heart and mind of those that are hearing. And so sometimes you have to go back and re-listen to a message like this and allow it to germinate in your heart. That germination comes from the process of sowing a seed. When a seed is thrown into the ground, it goes into the ground and covered. And from the ground, it begins to grow. It dies within the soil and begins to reproduce new life. Amen. And that new life produces something in which the seed is. And so allow this word to reproduce something in you. That's going to be what the seed is. And the seed is not only God's word, but it's his word for you. It's his word to bless you. It's his word to bring strength to you. So allow that to take place today. I encourage you, on programs like this where the word is so impactful, and yes, I could have probably broke this message up into three parts, but you got a full course. So enjoy it. Go back and listen to it again. Maybe you have to listen to it in three parts. Do what's best for you. But nevertheless, pick up your Bible. Read your word. Apply the word. And have a better life. Amen. Amen. Anybody know the scripture that Sister Ruth read in the beginning for the after the open prayer? Anybody remember it?
Galatians 5:22-26.
Galatians. That's all right. Amen. Y'all got it right. Galatians, she read for us the fruit of the Spirit. That's the outline in that text, is the fruit. Perfect point of view. It said fruit, singular. Although it named nine different things, it's still one fruit. And so just like some fruits have multiple vitamins within it, so does the fruit, the singular fruit of the Spirit, has nine different things that's going to bless our lives. Amen. All right. The bloodhound of scripture from last week. Sister Ruth, are you ready to give us that? See if we can find it or have found it.
All right. Yeah, here we are. And thou shalt bestow that money for whatsoever thy soul lusteth after, for oxen or for sheep or for wine or for strong drink or for whatsoever thy soul desireth. And thou shalt eat there before the Lord thy God, and thou shalt rejoice, thou and thine household.
All right, one more time, Ruthie.
And thou shalt bestow that money for whatsoever thy soul lusteth after, for oxen or for sheep or for wine or for strong drink or for whatsoever thy soul desireth, and thou shalt eat there before the Lord thy God, and thou shalt rejoice, thou and thine household. It's a longing.
All right, anybody think they know where it's at?
Well, we're going to get, I'm going to give somebody 5 seconds before I give it. We found that in Deuteronomy chapter 14 and verse 26. And thou shalt bestow money for thy soul lusteth after. And the sheep. Okay, yeah, that's the right verse. Amen. All right. You got one more for us for next week?
All right. Now that one is a little shorter. And wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face to shine, and bread which strengtheneth man's heart.
All right, one more time.
And wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face to shine, and bread which strengtheneth man's heart. I like that one, though.
Okay. I was going to say that's a proverb, but that's a song. Okay. All right. That's good. All right. We'll be looking forward to next week to visit that. Bloodhound of Scripture. Amen. We have made it to our 2 o'clock hour. Amen. We don't want to say all minds clear. We want to say all hearts full and all understanding for today. And we're going to move forward with the rest of our day. Some have things that they need to get done. Some are resting. Whatever your situation is, we want to say thank you. Thank you for being part of the Six Eyes Radio Network. This has been the Six Eyes Gospel Show, where you get your praise on without leaving the house. We ask that if this program has been a blessing to you, that you would sow a seed to this programming, that this station and other programming such as this can continue. There's 2 ways or 2 platforms that you may be able to sow your seed, and they are the PayPal platform and the Cash App platform. From the PayPal, you simply dial in on your PayPal the email address 6i6@gmail.com. That is SIXEYES, the digit number 6@gmail.com. And if you're utilizing the Cash App platform, that is $6i24. And that again is $SIXEYES, the digit number 2 and the digit number 4. And whatever your contribution is, be it small or great, it is most definitely appreciated. Thank you for those that have been giving. that have been supportive to this station. We want to say thank you. And may God continually bless you for your contribution. We love you with the love of Christ, and we look forward to seeing you on tomorrow night on a Motivational Monday with yours truly. Come back. We pray that you have been blessed. Have a wonderful day. We love you again with the love of Christ. Everybody say goodbye.
Later. Thanks for listening. God bless.
God bless everybody. Have a wonderful day.
God bless everyone.
Yo, yo, hands, you ready to do this? Because I'm ready.
Uh-huh. It's the beat to the beat to the J-A-Y. Uh-huh. And has a
down, down, down. Lyrically, I flow sick like the blue butter. My profile,
holy hustler style.
Souls are clocked by El Cristo, Messiah. Hell full of killers. Yo, cast off some tires. Wanna be killers. Rookie, no hitters. Lyrical Godzilla. BBJ, nothing but a plan in the man. Putting it down with heads up fast.
Let's
product of the Six Eyes Radio Network. God bless you and God keep you. More programming to come.